Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to the Faith Podcast. I'm Shabir Hassan, and in this mini podcast series, we are going to be discussing Quranic du'as and exploring one du'a from the Quran per episode. We hope you enjoy, inshallah, and benefit from this. Don't forget to check us out on social media at Faith Space UK. Check out our website, faithspace.co.uk, and remember to come as you are to faith. As it is. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, and welcome back to another Faith Podcast where we are discussing Quranic supplications. In the last episode, we discussed one of the first du'as covering forgiveness, and we mentioned how this is going to be a common recurring theme throughout, and this most definitely is not going to be the only du'a which is going to focus on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This particular dua was, you know, right towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, and it focused on two specific things which are part and parcel of human nature. First and foremost, we spoke about forgetfulness, and then we spoke about making mistakes. Now, today we're going to move on from Surah Al-Baqarah into the next chapter, which is Surah Ali Imran, the family of Imran. And we're going to head over to verse number 38. To be honest with you, you need to read the verses before and after. So meaning this entire passage, I would encourage everyone to have a read of these verses. Amazing set of verses, so much that we can learn from. In particular, though we're not going to really discuss this individual today, but in particular, prior to the verse we're going to discuss today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings in the story of one of the best of women, the only woman mentioned by name in the entire Quran, none other than Maryam alayhi salam, otherwise known as Mary, the mother of Isa alayhi salam. And her story is amazing, how, you know, Allah takes us through how she was born, and, you know, how her mother was expecting to give birth to, you know, a boy, but then ended up being a girl. And then the mother, you know, vowed to basically give her daughter, Maryam alayhi salam, in the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she grew up literally having her own chamber, spent a lot of time in solitude, spent a lot of time in seclusion by herself, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, devoting herself to him in the chamber of the masjid. This was Maryam alayhi salam, and we know what her story is, and further details of her story can be found in other parts of the Quran, and there's an entire chapter in the Quran dedicated to her, Surah Maryam. Now, in order to understand the dua that we're going to be mentioning today of a different individual, you have to understand actually the story of Maryam. Now, in particular, picture this: she's by herself, she's in this chamber in the masjid, no one else is there, no one else is interacting with her, she's just focused on her ibadah, on her worship, and on her connection with her creator. Now, the individual that we're going to be focusing on today is a great prophet of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salam. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam, he's a relative of Maryam actually. So he is, of course, he's a prophet, he's a wise man, he's very experienced himself, he's very senior, he's someone who's looking after Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam, by the way, according to some opinions, she didn't have a mother and father at this stage. So even her father passed away when she was either very young or before she was born, and her mother also passed away when she was fairly young. So he's looking after her. Right, he's obviously the caretaker, so to speak, the imam of the masjid. So he has access, so he can come in and out, and he checks up on her to see whether she's okay, whether she needs anything, whether she needs any food or drink or anything like that. So what Allah does is he records the account of Zakariya alayhi salam and Maryam, who's this young, pious, you know, devoted worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She's in the chamber. Then Allah says, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَا الْمِحْرَابِ, that every single time that Zakariya alayhi salam used to enter upon Maryam while she's in the chamber, right, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا, he would miraculously find that she already has rizq with her. She already has provisions. She already has food with her. So this would obviously surprise him because no one else has access. And it wasn't just, you know, some basic provision, you know, a few maybe, you know, a loaf of bread, you know, some water or something like that. No, the Mufassirin, the scholars of Tafsir, they even go and bring narrations which mention how Maryam alayhi salam would have such food that in the seasons of summer, you know, fruits and particular foods that were only available in the summer season, she would have it in the winter season and vice versa. So this was some amazing rizq that Maryam alayhi salam had. So he would ask her, "Anna laki hadha? Where did you get this rizq from?" And her response is amazing. She said, "Hiya min indillah." This rizq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. Right? This comes from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha bighayri hisab. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He provides and gives rizq for whoever He wishes to and whoever He wills for, without taking any account, without restricting, and so on and so forth. So, subhanAllah, you have to just imagine this as a young pious worshipper. She's by herself and she's making dua and she's dedicated herself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you've got this senior prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal who sees this and he is inspired. He is inspired. Now you have to look at the life of Zakariya alayhi salam. What was happening in his life at this stage? So like we said, he's very senior, he's very old, right? And his wife also has reached an old age. Now at this stage, they haven't had any children. And Zakariya alayhi salam, he longed to have a child. He really wished to have a child. One of the main reasons for this is so someone could continue this, his lineage, someone could continue his legacy. And, ultimately, you've been married for that long, which person, which individual wouldn't want to have a child, right? Especially if you've been trying and trying. So what happened is, upon seeing this amazing incident involving Maryam alayhi salam, he is now inspired. He thinks to himself, subhanAllah, most people would think it's impossible for a young woman like that to have access to such provisions. To us, that's impossible. But she got it from Allah. Allah provided for her. Now, I have longed for such a long period of time, you know, over the years, over the decades, throughout my life to have a child, and it hasn't yet happened. Why am I not, making sincere dua, doing what, something similar to Maryam, which is just going in solitude, secluding myself and making some sincere dua to Allah. It inspired him. It just, not that he didn't think it was possible in the hands of Allah prior to that, but it's that, sometimes you just need that push. Sometimes you need that, that flicker of hope that you had now all of a sudden is reignited and it becomes something greater, right? So now he's full of hope. Right, and he's so inspired. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes one of the du'as that Zakariya alayhi salam he makes, and this is in verse number 38 of Surah Ali Imran. And this is specific, of course, to having a child. Now I don't want you to think, well, I'm not interested right now in having children, or I've already had loads of children and I don't want to have another child, or I'm not even married, so why am I interested in making a du'a to have a child? It's not even about that. I actually want to mainly focus on the way he made dua and how effective it was, and some practical tips that we can take away from the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. So the dua, anyway, I'll still share it with you, which is Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyibah. Right? My Lord, grant for me and give to me from yourself, from you, O Allah, dhurriya tayyibah. A righteous, pure child and offspring, right? Righteous, pure offspring and a child from you, O Allah, grant me this. Okay, so he's chosen his wording very carefully as well. He says, habli, right? He doesn't say give to me. He actually says, gift me, right? So again, really beautiful choice of wording. Min ladunka, from you, O Allah, like directly from you, because no one else can help me out here. Right, and then he describes the child with tayyiba, someone who's pure, someone who's righteous, someone who's good in nature, right? And the wording is amazing. So we learn a lot from the wording of Zakariya alayhi salam, the way he actually made dua. Now, what you have to do, by the way, to understand this fully, is you might have to just pause here, right? You might have to pause here on Surah Ali Imran, and you might have to fast forward and go to Surah Maryam, right? If you go to Surah Maryam, you're going to find more detail. And Allah does this a lot, you know. Certain stories are mentioned throughout the Quran, the story of Musa alayhi salam, you know, certain incidents, you know, like for example, Adam alayhi salam, like we covered, right? So there's going to be snapshots of different prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam here, Musa alayhi salam there, right? And Allah would mention different parts of their lives or different accounts or different perspectives in different surahs. So for a different perspective, we now go to Surah Maryam, and right at the beginning of Surah Maryam, literally from verse number 2 onwards, if you read that, you will find details of the dua that Zakariya alayhi salam made. One amazing thing that he did is Allah says, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا, that Zakariya alayhi salam, he called out to his Lord, a call in secret, a call in solitude. And this is a really important point when it comes to making dua, right? Is that make dua by yourself in seclusion. Why is that important? For I'll explain to you. Firstly, you know, just on a practical level, right? When you're in front of other people, you can't really fully get into the zone, so to speak. You can't really fully, you know, concentrate. There's something about being by yourself that really, really helps you get into gear and get into the zone to really fully focus and make dua to Allah. You know, if you're around your family, like, you know, you're going to have children running around, you've got someone probably playing some video on their phone, and there's too much noise, too many distractions, right? You want to remove all of those distractions, you want to remove all of those obstacles, and you want it to just be you and your creator, your master, right? And, you know, eliminate all of those small little distractions, just temporarily. Of course, we're not saying that you get away and you completely divorce yourself from society and from communities. No, it's just like temporarily, you need that time to yourself, right? This helps you with reflection. This is why the night prayer, by the way, is so important. You know, the Prophet, this was his time. This was his seclusion. This was his isolation, just him and Allah, no one else to bother him, no one else to come. You know, during the day he's so busy, right? During the day people are coming to him, asking him questions, making queries, you know, he needs to deal with these companions, now he needs to deal with this state affair, now he needs to deal with something at home with his wives, with his children, right? But nighttime, it's just him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is, we need that time to ourselves, right? So he calls out in secret. Another reason is that, again, you know, when you're in front of people, let's say you're in the masjid, right? You're in the hall of the masjid, you're making dua, and you're really into it, and you know, you might even shed a few tears here and there. Now, what even being by yourself does, it eliminates any shred of arrogance and any shred of showing off, because, you know, you're always subconsciously thinking about this, right? That when you're in front of other people, you might think, well, you know what are they thinking about me? Or, you know, I can't really get into it properly because people are staring at me. Or, you know, what if they think I'm really pious? Or maybe I should prolong it slightly. You know, just to eliminate all of that, eliminate any doubt, right? It's even better to just be by yourself. So making dua in seclusion, making a secret dua, you don't need to announce it to everyone. You don't need to tell everyone, hey, I'm making dua for this. Right, it's good to ask others to make dua for you, by the way. But you know, some things are very personal. You don't want everyone to know. So for example, this was very personal to Zakariya alayhi salam. He wanted to have a child. And if he told anyone else, what do you think the response would have been? This is a man who's, you know, though we don't know his exact age, you know, some mention he's in his 70s, others mention he's in his 90s, others mention he's over the age of 100. Now imagine a 70-year-old man, let's just say, comes up to you and says, hey, I'm going to make dua that I'm going to have a child today, right? You turn around to him and say, uncle, you know, like, why are you making dua for this for? Make dua for, you know, maybe your health or something. Make dua for a good end to your life. Make dua for, you know, those around you perhaps. But, you know, why are you making dua to have a child at this age for, right? So there's some things that are personal, some things people just won't understand, they won't be able to relate to, right? Generally speaking, yes, it's good to ask others to make dua for you. So when it's something personal like that, then you make it personal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So one thing that he does is, like we said, he takes to solitude and he makes dua by himself. Also, one thing that he does is he's very, very specific in the way that he asks Allah, very specific, right? What do we mean by that? Is that, you know, it's not like a it's not like a quick dua that he made. He was specific, but at the same time, he made it like an intimate conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so this is also really important. When you make dua, make it like a conversation. And again, if you read Surah Maryam, the way that he speaks to Allah, the way that he breaks things down, he literally shares his feelings with Allah. He shares the difficulty that he's facing. He shares, you know, his struggles. And he says, look, I'm an old man, right? And obviously I'm paraphrasing here. But he says, look, I'm a really old man. I have gray hair now. My bones have grown really, really weak and feeble. And, you know, my wife, she has not been able to bear any children up until now. And, you know, he breaks all of this down and then he goes into the dua. But even when he goes into the dua, he doesn't just say, oh Allah, give me a son. I want a son. I want a child. That's it. Right? No, he breaks it down. He says, you know, I fear for my lineage, for my offspring after me, right? And I'd love that if I were to have a child, that this would be a child that, you know, inherits from my forefathers, inherits from people like Ya'qub alayhi salam, right? And, you know, I'd wish that this child is someone that you are pleased with, O Allah. Okay, so look at the way he's beautifully broken things down. So when you make dua, don't just get straight into it. Okay, build a personal connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, tell him why you want that job. Tell him why you want to get married, right? Tell him, you know, what it is that you're looking for, what it is that you're going through right now. Share it. It's very therapeutic. It's extremely helpful and useful to do things like this. You know, it's like you call up a friend, okay, and it's a friend maybe you haven't spoken to in a while. And the first thing, you know, you like they pick up the phone, they're like, hello, assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? And, you know, you haven't even asked them how they are. You haven't asked them about their family. You know, you haven't, you know, apologized for not being in touch. You haven't done any of that. You just cut all of that out and you just say, hey, I need to borrow your car for the weekend. Or I need to borrow some money off you. Or, you know what, I need this from you. What do you think their reaction is going to be? It's like, why, you know, at least, you know, have the decency, at least have the etiquette of, you know, asking me how I am, you know, building a conversation, showing at least that you're somewhat interested in having a conversation with me before asking me for the favor. So you want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. He's our master, right? So you want to build a connection with Allah. You want to be as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as possible. You don't just dive in and ask for the favor. You build it, right? Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs that, or not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't already know what we need, but He wants to see us making the effort. He wants to see us going out of our way to build a relationship with Him. And this will only strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing that I'm going to mention that Zakariya alayhi salam did is that now he had full hope. He had full hope and tawakkul in Allah. And this is something you have to have. You can't make a half-hearted dua where at the back of your mind or at the bottom of your heart, you're thinking, though I'm making dua to pass my exams, though I'm making dua to ace this interview, though I'm making dua to get through this hardship, I know deep down, or I'm feeling deep down, it's not really possible. Or I don't know if Allah can really help me out of this one. Or I don't know, like maybe I'm not, you know, worthy of this. You know, and you're having all of these thoughts. This isn't the way to approach dua. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ teaches us, and it's from the sunnah, that when you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you make it with full confidence and with full hope that Allah will give you what it is that you want. And in fact, Allah does not like it. And it's not from the sunnah when you make half-hearted du'as. Because it's as if, you know, that is your expectation of Allah. Allah says in the Hadith Qudsi, famous narration, right? Famous Hadith Qudsi, in which he says that, I am as my servant expects of me. I am as my servant expects of me. Meaning, if you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to, you know, not really give you, or to give you half of it, or to give you a low level of it, then that's basically what you're going to get. But if you want the best from Allah, and of course Allah can give, He is Ar-Razaq, He is the one who provides, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wahhab, He is the one who bestows gifts, you know, constantly. If that's how you perceive Allah, and that's what you think of Him, and that's what you expect from Him, that's exactly what you're going to get. So these are just a few things that we learn from this amazing individual, this amazing Prophet of Allah, Zakariya alayhi salam, the way that he made dua. Right? So he says, Rabbi habli min ladunka dhurriyatan tayyiba. Then he ends by saying, Innaka sami'u ad-du'a. Oh Allah, there is no doubt that you are the hearer of prayers. You are the hearer of this dua that I make. Again, something else that we learn is when you make dua using the best names and the best attributes of Allah. Right, you call him the most merciful, you call him the bestower of gifts, you call him the most generous, you know, you call him by saying, my Lord, okay, showing how much you need him. And again, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is super important. So I might as well just, you know, also tell you what happens in the story, right? Is that Zakariya alayhi salam, you know, pretty much immediately, subhanAllah, his dua is accepted, right? Something that, again, many of us would say it's impossible. You know, some would say scientifically it's impossible, right? What happened, Zakariya alayhi salam, by the time he left his mihrab, he left his chamber, the news comes down via an angel saying that, oh Zakariya, we give you good news of a child whose name will be Yahya. So subhanAllah, who was his child? After all that long wait, he makes this really sincere dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only does Allah bless him with a child, but Allah blesses him with an amazing child, someone who also happens to become a prophet later on, none other than Yahya alayhi salam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. So this is amazing, right? The dua of Zakariya alayhi salam was fulfilled, it was responded to, it was accepted by Allah almost immediately as well, just showing you the power of making a sincere dua. The last few points that I leave you all with is it's very important to make dua for children and pure offspring and you know, righteous children. This is very important. And there's many du'as, by the way, in the Quran that also encourage you to do this. Du'as from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and even just, you know, general du'as, right? Now, some of you, again, like I said at the beginning, some of you will think, well, hold on a second, I'm not even married, or I'm not really up for having children right now. Listen, it doesn't matter if you don't want to have children right now. No one's saying that you make dua to have a child right now. But it's so important because remember, children, they are a part of your legacy, right? So children are part of one's legacy, okay? Now, even if you're planning to have a child or children in a few years' time, or, you know, you're planning to get married in a few years' time, but you don't want to have a child right now. Or let's say, you know, you're already married, right? But it's like, you know, I don't want to have a child right now, immediately. That's fine, okay? That's up to you. You take your time. No one's saying that you need to have a child within a specific time frame. But remember, this is long term, right? You don't plan to have a child the day the child is born, or you don't plan how to raise the child, you know, when the child is slowly growing up. No, actually, if you really want to build a lasting legacy, you make dua from now, even if you're not even married, even if you don't have an intention to have a child right now, you make dua to Allah, oh Allah, grant me pure offspring. Oh Allah, grant me children who will be the coolness of our eyes. Oh Allah, grant me such children who will become righteous, who will continue and carry on my legacy. This is part of the narrations of the Prophet. And remember, you know, there's a narration, famous one, in which he says that after an individual passes away, everything will be cut off from them, right? When we leave this world and we enter into our graves, everything is cut off. Our wealth, you know, our careers, our houses, these things are not going to benefit us. But the Prophet says that there's three things in particular that are still going to, you know, continuously benefit this individual even after they've passed away, once everything else is cut off. And one of these things is waladun salih yad'u lahu, that a righteous child who will continuously make dua for their parent, right? You leave behind a righteous child and that child continuously makes dua for you. This is going to be a perpetual reward for you. This is going to be a means of legacy for you, right? So imagine how many amazing scholars, you know, that we quote, the likes of Imam al-Bukhari, the likes of Imam Malik, Abu Hanifa, right? We quote these names day in, day out, Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah, and so on and so forth, right? Now imagine the legacy that they are continuing and carrying on, and the reward that their parents are getting for raising such amazing children, right? And this wasn't something that just happened overnight. No, this, they would have made dua for this. They would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely for this. So what I'm trying to say is that you wanna build a legacy, you need to actually make dua for whatever it is that you want. Not just children, there's many other things, but children is one of those things. You make dua for it from now. That, oh Allah, grant me pure offspring, right? And you make these duas from now so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can put this all in place for us, you know, without us having to wait and leaving things till too late, you know. So we do what we can from now. So these are some really practical tips that we can take from the story of Zakariya alayhi salam. Obviously, specifically, we looked at verse number 38 from Surah Ali Imran, the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, where he asks for pure offspring. And it was just the way that he made dua, you know, in solitude, being more specific, having a conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being, you know, full of hope and, just completely believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could help him out and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to answer his prayers. And then obviously that was off the back of the incident with Maryam alayhi salam. So much to take away from this story, and I would highly encourage you all to look into these stories in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran and Surah Maryam, because there's so many gems that we can take away from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to leave behind a legacy, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of our du'as. Inshallah, we are going to be back once again with another episode covering another du'a from the Quran. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.